You're about to hear Graham explaining how Spurs once missed out on signing Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang after André Villas-Boas declared his lack of interest in the player. Aubameyang will, of course, be lining up against Spurs on matchday one of the Champions League next Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this 10-minute chunk. The full show runs to 45 minutes, and if you want to hear Graham's take on Spain's re-emergence as a credible force in world football, his take on the end of the transfer window and more, it's time to become a socio. Head to patreon.com/GrahamHunter to unlock over 10 hours of bonus content, including exclusive big interviews with Ledley King and Rafa van der Vaart. Enjoy.
We're going to look at a couple of centre-forwards. One of them has landed at Spurs this transfer window, and one of them is going to be playing against Spurs. Where do you want to start, Graham?
The first one, then, Aubameyang. And this is one of the most exciting, quickest, most free-scoring footballers in Europe, who for years, at Champions League level and domestically, has been proving for Borussia Dortmund that everything that he showed in French football was simply a foretaste. He's class, and he's served brilliantly by Dortmund, and he should have been playing for Spurs. This is the thing that is worth raising now, because I think it's unknown, but I know that for Daniel Levy it's still a massive thorn in his side, because if Daniel Levy has a flaw, it's getting carried away with liking a deal and the machinations of a deal and prices rather than right talent at the right time. In the Rafa van der Vaart interview, which was our first exclusive social content, Rafa talked about if that side had been kept together. Now, by that he meant if Daniel Levy had been willing to pay the wages, to say, I've got the right group to keep Harry Redknapp, whatever. Rafa's view, Rafa's statement, right or wrong, was we'd have won the title. Okay, so you set that aside. What we know right now is that there are three players in the current starting 11 for Spurs who not only think they're being underpaid, but the wage increases that they're offered are wrong, are derisory. Now, I'm not taking sides. I'm not going to say they're right. But this is all backup evidence about how, as shrewd as he is, as a businessman, as a leader, as a reshaper of the club, as somebody who's going to give them a new stadium, as somebody who's got them into Wembley, and as a leader of the club who continually hires the right managers or gets rid of the wrong ones and has taken them to the Champions League twice and to the verge of the Champions League on more than one occasion, Daniel Levy still likes a good deal. And Aubameyang was that deal. When André Villas-Boas was the coach, Aubameyang was offered to Spurs, and the structure, the football structure at Spurs went, this is clearly a player that we want to have a look at. Let's meet him. And the agent took Aubameyang over to London. And André Villas-Boas, according to Daniel Levy, wasn't interested, wouldn't meet them, didn't see the point in wasting time on them. Which is a story that Tim Sherwood has also told me about Villas-Boas' attitude towards Isco. Villas-Boas knew who Isco was, knew where he was playing. Sherwood said, this is a must for Spurs. Right guy, right talent, right price, right age. Villas-Boas went, no, I want to, I don't, if he's playing in the 10 position, which subsequently Ancelotti and Zidane have proven that he doesn't have to, I want somebody who works more. Well, Ancelotti's point of view was to teach him how to work more rather than not keep him. So Aubameyang, who'll be tormenting, as long as he's fit, will be trying to torment the Spurs backline at Wembley. And this match day one, because I believe it's in London, the match. It's just a little, one of these little ironic twists that he could have been at Spurs, could have been at Spurs during the last, I don't know how many years, 4 or 5 years, and scoring the goals that maybe until Harry Kane they patently lacked. And he's a player who right now, if you could sign to augment Kane's ability, you'd sign him instantly, but they wouldn't pay that price. So that's story number one that you were asking for.
And I can hear Spurs' hearts breaking up and down the country as you tell it.
So, the other one is that a guy they do have, he's got a slightly different turn of pace, but similar physical stature and really sort of piercing Paul Newman blue eyes. Big old Fernando Llorente is one of the nicest, most interesting, best travelled strikers that you could wish to recruit. And Spurs have done that. But they've got him on the rebound. They've got him when... again, I don't believe that most Spurs fans, or most socios who just watch Spurs, not being a fan of theirs, know that Llorente was on the verge of signing for Spurs in 2009. Harry Redknapp was the coach. Llorente was identified as Athletic Bilbao at the time. He was about to make the big breakthrough with Spain, go to the World Cup, play a role in against Portugal in the round of 16 match, in helping Vicente del Bosque win the world title. And it got to the extent that the beauty parade was down to two. And a friend of mine, who I can name here, Terry Gibson, Spurs striker, Spurs supporter, brilliant talent spotter, somebody whose eye for football explains why he was such a clever striker. And Terry was helping Spurs and had recommended Llorente and drove Fernando Llorente's brother, Jesus Llorente, who represents Fernando, around North London, showing him the stadium. Just got a bit of, because around the Tottenham Stadium, White Hart Lane, is not necessarily where the Spurs players live. They all live up in Totteridge or wherever the beautiful places up in North London are. And Jesus Llorente got a bit of a fright because living was good in Bilbao. Living was sweet. It's a beautiful city. You know, with what you earn as a top-level Spain and Athletic Bilbao footballer, you can live like a king. So he wasn't too sure about, you know, around that Seven Sisters area, etc., until he was reassured, no, this is where we play, not where we live. Oh, super fine. And the Llorentes were more than keen to sign for Spurs. Not simply because it was Spurs or Harry Redknapp, because of the quality of the team, but because Fernando Llorente had always wanted to play in England. That stemmed from him having grown up being something of an Osasuna fan, hearing the legend of Michael Robinson, Liverpool European Cup winner, Republic of Ireland international, who's now a huge star, Gary Neville star of Spanish football analysis. And because Robinson had this English-Irish background, Llorente became fascinated with English football, wanted to come. He's now at Spurs via Swansea, but that was the moment in which Harry Redknapp, and for good reasons, chose Peter Crouch instead. But it was so close that the deal, where to live, looking at London, looking at the stadium, was something that the Llorentes did in 2009. And he's back now. And a little addendum, just to compensate for the Aubameyang thing. Socios will be able to guess immediately the way I say it, but Fernando Llorente has played one club more than any other and has scored against one club more than any other. And yet, it's not Apoel, and it's not Dortmund, it's Real Madrid. So, maybe, even though Harry Kane will start and Llorente presumably will only be on the bench when the Madrid games come round, maybe, Fernando, Paul Newman, will have a little go up his sleeve for the mighty Spurs.
To hear Graeme's analysis of Spain's emphatic wins over Italy and Liechtenstein, the re-emergence of the legendary David Villa, and the Diego Costa saga, head to patreon.com/GraemeHunter to become a socio. There you'll unlock over 10 hours of bonus content, including exclusive big interviews with Ledley King and Rafa van der Vaart.